This morning's reflection was written by Reverend Karen's friend and colleague, the Reverend Laura Shenham, who shared it with the congregation she serves, and Reverend Karen has adapted it for us. During this reflection, when I speak in the first person and say I'm saying Reverend Karen's words, not my own. So last week, we considered how sharing our stories can empower us. And this week, we're going to engage in some of that power. To start, we're going to invite you into a brief time of meditation. So take a few centering breaths in and out. Settle into your body. Let your shoulders fall softly away from your ears. And if you feel safe doing so, feel free to close your eyes. As we think about stories today, I invite you to think about those stories in your life that informed you about resilience or the ability to keep going when life was hard. It could be a story of your own, a story of a loved one, a story about a famous person, or even a story about a fictional person. Who has inspired you at times when you were struggling? What is the story you heard that let you know you could keep going? What are the stories that rescued you from the absurd? Hold on to these stories and the people in them as you reflect. We'll come back to them later. I'll give you a few moments. Okay, if you've closed your eyes now, you can open them and come back to the room. How many of us have felt like the person in our time for all ages when we think we have the story of who we are and who we're meant to be in the world all figured out, only for something to happen and it completely unravels? Reverend Karen adds, I know I've been there as a minister, as a parent, as a U.S. citizen, and as a human being. Each time I've come to a place where that story breaks or I can't hold what I know to be true any longer, each time that happens, I encounter a new story or a new perspective that helps me build my strength again. I'm wondering how many people here might have had a similar experience. If you're willing, raise your hand if that's happened to you. Yeah, thank you. Stories are powerful, which is why we use them so much in worship. They can be inspiring, educational, humorous, and insightful, or like our Time for All Ages reading today, all of the above at the same time. They help us find new ways to be in the world. Reverend Karen continues with her story. As I reflected on the personal stories of resilience in my life this past week, I kept coming back to my dad, who had to build new stories for himself several times throughout his life. He grew up in Nazi Germany, survived the war, met and married my mom, and when they came to the U.S. to build a new life, the friend that sponsored them got him a job as an airline mechanic, so he learned a new trade. They settled in a small German neighborhood in Queens and made some friends, and then they got pregnant with me and decided to move into the suburbs, so another new life. They told me the house I grew up in had holes in the floors so that you could see from the second floor down to the basement. So he learned a lot about home repair, and then how to be a parent. There was never a lot of money, but there was enough to have what we needed and a little bit for some fun. He just kept going all through his life, learning new things when he had to, and pushing forward to make the best life that he could for us. And when he was diagnosed with dementia in his 70s, it was really hard for him to shift gears and to let others take care of him. He just had that determination to keep on going, no matter what. So, who did you think about when you were considering the personal stories of resilience in your life? Or maybe you thought of a story of your own resilience. I invite you, if you choose, to turn to someone else sitting near you and share that story you were thinking about. If you'd rather reflect without talking to someone, you're more than welcome to do that. Just say no if someone approaches you. For those of you who are attending virtually, if you'd like to share your story, I encourage you to use the chat. Or if you're watching in the same room with someone, share your stories together right there. So let's take a few minutes to share, and we'll sound the singing bowl when it's time to return, because I know you folks can talk. How many of you were inspired by the stories that someone else shared with you? In our reading, Adrienne Marie Brown encouraged us to get the stories of resilience out in the open, to share them with one another, and also to make space for those whose stories we never hear very often, but which have so much wisdom. I want to tell you another story of resilience from history. This is taken from the U.S. Department of Labor Hall of Honor induction for Dolores Huerta. Raised by a single mother in the farm worker community of Stockton, California, as a young girl, Huerta observed the inhumane conditions faced by migrant farm workers and dedicated her life to the men and women who harvest America's fields. Huerta co-founded the National Farm Workers Association with Cesar Chavez. Now, you hear a lot about Cesar Chavez, but Dolores was right there with him. The union later became United Farm Workers, the oldest Latino organization to come out of the civil rights movement and the largest farm worker organization in America. Working side by side with Chavez, Dolores' accomplishments are vast. She secured state-backed aid for dependent families and disability insurance for injured California farm workers. She directed a national grape boycott to protest the dangers of pesticides on the grape pickers, which resulted in the entire California table grape industry changing its practices. And she negotiated the first ever collective bargaining agreement with an agricultural business to secure better wages and working conditions for farm workers. Huerta was an outspoken advocate for world peace, the rights of immigrants, women, minorities, at-risk youth, and LGBT Americans. During her decades of leadership, Huerta endured beatings, death threats, and arrests for leading nonviolent protests to give a voice to the voiceless. The unflappable leader had her bones broken, but never her spirit in the struggle. In 2012, President Obama awarded Huerta the Presidential Medal of Freedom, the nation's highest civilian honor for her lifetime of advocacy on behalf of the underserved. In addition, Huerta received the Eleanor Roosevelt Human Rights Award in 1998. As of 2015, she was a board member of the Feminist Majority Foundation, the Secretary Treasurer Emeritus of the United Farm Workers of America, and the president of the Dolores Huerta Foundation. This was a woman who oftentimes did not take credit for the work she did, And not only that, but she did all this advocacy work, raising 11 children as a single mother. In reading about her, Reverend Laura learned that the origin of the chant we've said so many times, especially in support of our Latinx siblings, "Si se puede," oftentimes is credited to Cesar Chavez. But in an NPR interview, Dolores Huerta tells the story of its origin and how she was the person to bring it to the movement. These are her words. "We were in Arizona. We were organizing people in the community to come support us. They had passed a law in Arizona that if you said boycott, you'd go to prison for 6 months. And if you said strike, you'd go to prison even longer. So we were trying to organize against that law. And I was speaking to a group of professionals in Arizona to see if they could support us. And they said, oh, here in Arizona, you can't do any of that. In Arizona, no se puede. No, you can't. And I said, no, in Arizona, sí se puede. And when I went back to our meeting that night, I gave that report to everybody. And when I said, sí se puede, everybody started shouting, sí se puede, sí se puede. And so that became the slogan of our campaign in Arizona and is now the slogan for the immigrant rights movement. You know, on posters, we can do it. I can do it. Sí se puede. I love the imagination of this story. When walls are being put up by saying, no, you can't say boycott. No, you can't say strike. No, you can't help anyone who might be undocumented. The answer is, sí se puede. Yes, we can. These are the stories we need to bring to the forefront right now. The ones that use a visionary narrative to redefine a world that seems to be getting smaller, scarier, and centered in fear. Instead of being stopped in our movement, we need to find the paths that open up if only we use our imagination and search for them. So if you haven't already, I invite you to think about resilient stories from history. Who has inspired you through their work in life? I'm going to again give you the opportunity to turn to each other and share the story you're thinking about if you choose. And of course, if you'd rather reflect silently on your own, you're welcome to do so. And those online, you can share your stories in the chat or with each other as you choose or not to. So let's take a couple minutes for that. Told you all you were good talkers. How many of you learned about a new story of resilience you hadn't heard before? Anyone? Yeah? Or maybe you were reminded of a story you once knew but had kind of forgotten about. I know for me it was Dolores Huerta. I've known that story for a long time, but I kind of pushed it to the back of my mind. Stories are powerful. We know this. They can be found in our libraries, our films, our conversations, and here in our worship. They are everywhere around us. We just have to take the time to remember them or search them out. We definitely need to share them, because that is what will get us through difficult times, challenging times, times when our own stories have become broken or unraveled. Let us remember the stories shared here today and continue to read, to learn, to share, and to make room for all to tell their story. May it be so. and may we be so.